One of my favorite psukim in the Torah, if you could call it that. It's hard to pick out a favorite pasuk, but it's just such a resonant pasuk. It's such a pitched and emotionally charged time. It is a pasuk in which Yaakov desperately screams and shrieks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Katanti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes asher asisa savdecha. Again, it's partially because it has such an emotional pull because of that beautiful song by Yonatan Razel. And it's a pasuk that has attracted so much interest and development around the raw humility and desperation, the vulnerability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that I received. I'm katan, I don't deserve it, and I'm looking towards you for continued sustenance, even though I continue to be undeserving. But yet the Chassam Sofer has two different approaches, each of which understands it a little bit differently. One is quoted in his name, one he actually writes about. I just want to share them with you. They're separate notions, but each is fascinating, and each is an inversion of the classic or conventional manner of interpreting this pasuk as a shriek of humility and self-annihilation or self-annihilating humility. So the first idea he addresses is that Yaakov's aware of everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has showered him with, all the miracles, all the protection, and he's almost surprised or baffled that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would invest so much and intercede in such a supernatural, miraculous fashion if he didn't have plans for him, if he didn't have something larger in store. If this is where it all ends, it's just some, as we would say, some joke, some taunting. It's reminiscent of a Gemara in Brachos that Lo Avid Rachman and Nisa L'Shakri HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't perform miracles without any larger historical purpose. Moshe Rabbeinu invokes theologically a similar concern when he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Birahotziam, Larogosam, Beri, Mulachalosam, Yalpinei Adama, when Moshe intercedes and davens for the Jews after the disastrous Chedegel, we think that Moshe is merely raising a concern that the Gentile nations will mock HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took them out, he rescued them only for futility, but Moshe is actually invoking a theological concept that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to invest so much in Am Yisrael and perform so many miracles, it's not for naught, it's not purposeless. And Rav Amital would always quote for us the wife of Manoach, Eshes Manoach in Shoftim, and they're the parents of Shimshon, and they're visited by angels, and they offer sacrifices and korbanos, which are quickly ascending to heaven, and yet Manoach is uncertain about how to proceed, whether they should initiate, whether they should respond, and Eshes Manoach essentially tells him HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have gone out of his way and pulled all these stops, as we would say in our language, and interceded in a supernatural fashion if there weren't some larger issue at hand and something larger at stake. And this is what Yaakov is asserting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've been through so much with you, and you've been there in such a way that's beyond the natural expectation, that I have to expect that this won't end, even though I'm riddled with fear and uncertainty. He's reaching. It's almost as if he's not just praying, but he's reaching for anchor points to solidify his position and to convince himself and to summon the confidence that it won't end. And of course, this is an interesting gloss for living through what we've lived through over the last 70 years. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed so many nisim on behalf of Am Yisrael in such a repeated and consistent fashion. And to just chalk this up to, as some would say, just the act of the Satan, just to fool Am Yisrael, or just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating all these nisim in the state of Israel and in the Jewish world, without there being some larger calculus or some larger purpose, some larger interest that is being served, is simply unacceptable. And Yaakov was unwilling to accept it, and I think we should also be unwilling to accept it, based on Yaakov's unwillingness. And this should give us the confidence that we're involved in some larger Yad Hashem narrative. The second issue, which is even more fascinating, which is cited in the name of the Maharam Shik, Rabbeinu Moshe Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, and it's quoted in his name, having quoted the Chassam Sofer, but it's also quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And to be honest, it sounds a little bit more like the Vilna Gaon, who repeatedly checked the enumeration of Parshas in the Torah. Parshas Vayishlach is the eighth Parsha in Sefer Bereishis. And in addition, this Pasuk Katonti is the eighth Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. So it is the eighth Pasuk in the eighth Parsha of Sefer Bereishis. This is reminiscent of the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota on Daf Hei describes the trait of humility, and the trait of humility is meant to be applied and exercised in the extremes. The Rambam writes you should be extremely humble, but at least according to one position in the Gemara, a Talmud Chacham must have a smidgen, a modicum, a small degree, minor amount of, I wouldn't say arrogance, but confidence, inner strength, projecting, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, representing the value system. The way the Gemara, especially when he represents it to those who would doubt it or sneer at it, the way the Gemara describes that smidgen of confidence and of empowerment is a shminis shebishminis, an eighth of an eighth, which would be a 1/64th measure, a very small fraction of confidence or inner strength that's projected externally. Now, why the Gemara uses the term eighth of an eighth is discussed. What does the number eight mean? But the eighth of the eighth, which is the term the Gemara employs to describe that smidgen of confidence that a Talmud Chacham should maintain, that eighth of an eighth computes to the eighth pasuk of the eighth parsha, which would be Katonti Mikol HaChasadim Mikol HaEmes. So there's something about this pasuk which corroborates or ratifies sensing a little bit of confidence. And that's a very strange notion, because this is a pasuk which appears to be characterized by underconfidence in a healthy manner, by feeling brittle and fragile and undeserving. But if you explore the pasuk a little bit more carefully, and again, this is elaborated by the Vilna Gaon, but it's also imputed to the Chasam Sofer, Yaakov is worried that all of the benefits and advantages and intercessions that he received over the past 20 plus years in the house of Laban have depleted his record, have depleted what he deserves. So there's an assumption Yaakov's taking that everything performed on his behalf was performed because he deserved it, and then there's a reckoning and a calculation, and it would deplete whatever merits he has in Shamayim. Wait a second, isn't that feeling a little too confident? Maybe everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for Yaakov was based on Tzchus Avos and had nothing to do with him, and therefore wouldn't lead to any depletion. So in this feeling of undeservedness and depletion and emptiness, there is a little sense of deservedness, that you've deserved something in the past and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensated or delivered those deserved merits, and now those merits have expired and now you're worried. And I think this highlights the very tricky world of humility and confidence, and that we're human beings, and as much as we try to be humble, even in our attempts to be humble, very often that humility is unattainable. And there's a very famous statement of the Chozeh of Lublin, Katonti mikol hachasadim mikol ha'emes asher asisa esavdecha, that humility can only be achieved with divine assistance, mikol hachasadim mikol ha'emes. And Yaakov is looking back at his past. And I think there's a difference between the past and the future. When you look back at your past and what you've received, you're allowed to impute it to your own deservedness, because that can then trigger greater humility and more sense of depletion and lack of deservedness going forward. Whereas to look towards your future with the confidence of receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance because of a state of deservedness, that may be a little too cocky or casual or cavalier. So it's an interesting spin on the Pasuk Katonti, that Yaakov is feeling depleted in the classical sense, but that depletion is a product of looking back at the past 20 years and sensing his accomplishment and worrying that perhaps the accomplishment or the achievements have depleted some of what he feels he rightfully deserves, because that's a trigger point for future humility. So it's a very, very intriguing concept, aside from the numerical or mathematical affiliation of an eighth of an eighth, but the psychology of, this, first of all, the interplay between humility and confidence, and of course, the difference, I think, between looking back at what you've received as a trigger point for future humility as opposed to expecting deserved rights or privileges towards the future.